From the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Australia, this is the Awake Nations Ministries podcast, equipping the church for revival, reformation, and kingdom impact. Learn more about us by visiting awakeaus.com.
And so I love what God is doing. This place is too small. Amen. And God has great things in store for you. And so how many of you were not at the meetings this week? Maybe you had to work or reason. Just wave at me. Don't be embarrassed. Oh, come on. Let's give them a hand for being here. Amen. And I don't know if the sessions will be available, but I know they're online. Maybe you can come give an offering and say, hey, can we get the overflow? And God, the last will be first, didn't he say? All right. So, and the first will be last. So that's okay. But don't miss out on what God is doing. And there's different times where we, go through teaching, and teaching is important. And we have the logos. We lay line upon line, precept upon precept. But then there's the time where there's a rhema. It's word. It's a word in season. It's a word that's alive. It's full of power. And we don't want to miss out on that, because in that word, there's an anointing, there's an activation that carries us through into the next season. Are y'all here this morning? Amen? And for those that don't know me, I was a missionary for 18 years in Asia, was a part of a great move of God in Singapore for 16 and a half years, where I saw the church grow from 1,500 to 32,000 people, 76% first-time first church converts. Come on, it wasn't transferred growth. It was a harvest. And every week we would see 350 to 450 people getting saved in all services. And if not, we fasted and prayed the next week and believed for it to happen again. And so it was great to be there, but the Lord sent us to America. And that's where I'm from, and put a burden on our heart to go there and redig the wells. And so we left the prominence. We left all of what we had established for 18 years and started over. No one really knew us. We're known in Asia and other nations more than we're known in America. But that's okay. Despise not the days of small beginnings. And we've been going. We're celebrating 13 years this Easter. And so God has been so faithful. And God is bringing a company of people around the world. There's a remnant. And a remnant doesn't mean it has to be small. But a remnant is a people who have a heart for the kingdom. They're fully sold out for the Lord. And we know we seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things will be added to us. But sometimes we have all our priorities, and what's number one? God. What's number two? It's family. And then we have ministry, and then we have our job. But that's not really the word. That's our Western concept. Because guess what? If you're going all out for God, does that mean you neglect your family? And if you're going all out for your family, then what? You can't do ministry? And if you're doing ministry, if you do those three things, you probably don't have time for your job. And that's why much of the church is poor. Are you here? But what does it say? Jesus is the center of all things. So it's not a 1-5 list. What is it? It's like a spoke of a wheel where he's at the center and all the different things come in. And as we're led by the Holy Spirit, as we begin to move in obedience to the word of God, everything works together. And there's times God has said, you need to focus a little bit more on family. You need to focus a little bit more on career. And guess what? I look at it like all the plates are spinning, and I have a lot of plates spinning in my life, in business and ministry and things that we're doing in the church. But the Holy Spirit keeps those plates spinning. And when it starts wobbling a little bit, you just go back under the inspiration and keep it spinning. And there's a momentum that's there. And God blesses us. And we enter in out of natural limitations into the capacity of God. Amen? This morning, I'm going to continue in the theme. This is a conference that is a supernatural conference. It's a Holy Spirit conference. And so I want to talk about the end time move of the Holy Spirit. And yesterday I was sharing that there's a power failure in much of the church. If we could begin to compare the Church of Acts with the church of today, there's a big contrast. There's a big difference. They didn't have all the buildings. Most of what happened in that day didn't happen in the temple. It happened out on the streets. And people getting saved, people getting healed, miracles are happening. But we come to the place, well, let's bring them to church and get Apostle Glenn to get them saved, or get Pastor Lynn to get them saved. And we have this concept, but that was not the church. This is the training ground. But church really starts when you walk outside those doors today, and you go back to work, you go back to your school, you go back to the life that you have, and we carry the presence of God. We carry the move of God. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it's a familiar verse to most of us, but it says, for men in the last days will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that sound like the world we live in? And many times the church isn't very different. But what is the key here? It says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And it says, from such people get away. Because guess what? If you hang out with Pharisees that have it all out right on the outside, but inside they're dead, what's going to happen? They're gonna suck the life out of you too. Wrong companions, the Bible says, corrupt. And so what does it mean? Not that we despise them, we look down, but we need to be running with people that are wanting to be world shakers and history makers. We need to be running with people that are hungry for a move of God. Get around hungry people. Any foodies out there? Come on. I love foodies. You can get a good Australian steak here, and I love US beef, but y'all got some good stuff too. And I was in New Zealand and ate their lamb, and I've never had lamb like that before. I felt like it was amazing, you know, it was beautiful. And so, but we can come to the place. Now I'm thinking about lamb. I just lost my train of thought. Ooh, my mouth's like. But when you're around foodies, what happened? You're all excited about it. Hey, there's this new restaurant. There's this little spot. There's this and this. And we like to share with people. Be that kind of person. And what happened? We encourage each other. Amen. I had a person I knew, and they told us there's this great Japanese restaurant, but I don't want you to tell anyone about it. Because when I go there, nobody's there. I don't have to wait in line. He's like, but they've got the best Japanese food. So I got to go there, and guess what? A month later, they closed down. Because no one told about it. Are you here? Let's not have that kind of thing. Churches are closing down. I think Pastor Glenn was saying 15,000 churches closed down in the last year in America. That's crazy. But come on, why? Because we need to go and tell somebody. We need to come to the place where we come back to the power of God. The church was birthed in the power of God. What did they do? They didn't have, I love the word of God, and I'm a student of the word. I've got many degrees in theology and things like that, but I'm still a learner. But the early church, they didn't have the epistles. They didn't have the New Testament for many, many years. But what did they do? They focused on the apostles' doctrine. They focused on the teachings of Jesus, and they came together, and it was around worship. It was around a prophetic anointing, and God began to, like we did today, prophesy and said, separate Paul and Barnabas to the work that I've called them to. Barnabas, the works I've called them to. There was an anointing. There was an appointing. It was the gifts of the Spirit flowing. But then we come to the place where sometimes we just begin to minister to the head instead of the heart. And we can be, you know, I call it Reader's Digest sermons. You remember the Reader's Digest? And they've just got nice stories that are inspirational, and that becomes our service. But there's more than that. Yes, it's good news. Amen. Thank God it's a good news gospel. But yet there is a power that's behind it. And yesterday I was talking about 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. Paul says, my preaching and my speech were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. It wasn't my eloquence, but he says it was in demonstration. Someone say demonstration. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. That word power is the word dunamis. That's where we get the English word dynamite. Come on, look at your neighbor. Do they look like they got some dynamite in their lives some today? Some of you look at the church, there's no dynamite. Hello, are you there? Anyone home? Come on. Oh, I'm struggling and I'm depressed. Well, come on, get into the Spirit. I don't care what I'm doing. We can be fighting devils and there's giants and everything's happening. Wolves are biting at our feet. You know, that's called pastoral ministry. But come on, we've got faith. We're in the glory of God, and we can be in the midst of the storm. But guess what? We keep hearing, he said, you're going to the other side. So we just keep our sail to the wind and keep going in the direction of God. And guess what? All of that stuff breaks out, and the sun comes out just like it did yesterday after our many days of rain. I was like, oh, Sunshine Coast, they do have sun here. And so I'm here to tell you the storm is passing. That's for somebody today. Don't get distracted with the storms and look. And what did God tell you? Stay and know that God's in your boat, even though you feel like he's asleep sometimes. But if he said you're going to the other side, you're going to go to the other side. It might take a period of time, but come on, we're going to get there in Jesus' name. You believe that? Give the Lord a shout. Amen? Oh, come on, give the Lord a shout. Amen. That's how you know you're alive. Dead people don't make noise. I've never been to a funeral where the person made any noise or moves. Are you here? Come on, let's be alive, and we can be responsive and be ourselves. So we need to move in the power of God. Now, what does the move of the Spirit look like? Four things very quickly. First thing that happens when there's a move of the Spirit, the church becomes alive in their relationship with God. And I love when we're here. When you talk about Jesus, there's just something about that name. I mean, when you say Jesus, I don't know, I just feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside. Because I love him, because he's my savior, because he's my Lord, because he's my friend. And so we fall in love with God, and our relationship with God becomes alive, that we want to know the Father. Some people, they just come to Jesus, but Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And many times because of our father issues, we just stop with Jesus. And you can tell in people's prayer, Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Well, where's the Father in that? He said, pray our Father in heaven. But because we've got issues with our Father, that's a whole other thing, an inner healing that we need to come through and deal with the Father issues sometimes, because our Father might have been abusive. Our Father might have been absent. Our Father might have been just a disciplinarian, and we find it hard to approach the Father. But we need to grow in our relationship with the Father. We need to grow in a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is not the Father, and the Father is not Jesus. They're one, but they're different persons. And then the Holy Spirit, the most neglected person in the church is the Holy Spirit. The late Kenneth Hagin, if you remember him, he was one of the pioneers of the Word of Faith movement. He said that most churches, even Spirit-filled churches, if the Holy Spirit walked down the center aisle with a red hat on and a t-shirt that said Holy Spirit, they still wouldn't recognize him. And I love the farmers. They just have a way with words, you know, but it paints a picture. And so we need to build intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Who is the representative of God on the earth? It's the Holy Spirit. Our Father who art in heaven. Of course, he's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's here by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But who is the administrator of God in the earth? It's the Holy Spirit right now. John 4, Jesus said he'll take the things that are mine and he'll give them to you. So if you want to move in power, you want to move in healing, you got to move through the Holy Spirit. He's the one who administrates what Jesus has promised us in our life. Amen? So the church becomes alive. Turn your neighbor and say, it's great to be alive. Amen? Number two, what happens is there's the life of God, there's miracles, signs, and wonders. Because signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel. In our life, we can be a sign and a wonder. Some of us got some testimonies, and my wife has a testimony, never met her father, was born out of wedlock, had a mom that was very hard, worked two jobs, and she was a latchkey kid, and that affected her. But when people look at her today, wow, look what the Lord has done. So our life is a sign and wonder, but then also it's demonstrations of power, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the release of power. When God touched people, sometimes we fall, sometimes we shake, sometimes it's like a wind, sometimes it's like electricity. Y'all getting real nervous right now, amen? I love it. I love all of it. But don't put God in a box. We don't seek just the power. We don't just seek the hand of God. We seek the face of God, and we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't need to have the spectacular, because the supernatural is not always spectacular, but it is spectacular also because it's a sign and a wonder. So there's miracles, signs, and wonders. The third thing that happens when the church is alive, it has intimacy with God. We're passionate about God, and we're moving in miracles, signs, and wonders. The third thing that happens is society is transformed. Many churches, the only impact they have in the city is a traffic jam. Because all the people trying to get into the car park and get to lunch. But what is the impact we're having in our society? The Bible says we're called to be salt and light. What does salt do? It adds flavor. I had eggs for breakfast this morning, and it needed some salt. But just a little bit salt is great. But don't have so much salt that you become bitter. People see you coming, you know, if you ever, the salt shaker was opening, you poured it on your food, and it's not nice. It becomes bitter. Don't be like that as a Christian, but have the right amount of salt, amen? Carry the light of God. When we walk into place, there's no secret Christians. You have secret agents. No one knows they're an agent. And some people are like that. You know, I don't want to get to heaven and colleagues come to me and like, you were a Christian? Why didn't you tell me? I had no idea. Why didn't you let your light shine? You know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and we used to sing that song. I don't know if it's here in Australia. You know, hiding under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I just dated myself. But like, no, don't hide your light. Let your light shine that men will know that God is alive. Amen? So the church becomes alive in our relationship with God. There's miracles, signs, and wonders. Society is now transformed because of the church is alive, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, when the disciples walked into a place, they said, wow, those that have turned the world upside down are here too. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's supposed to be you. Come on, tell somebody, that's supposed to be you. And then tell them it's supposed to be you too. Come on. What are we turning upside down? What are we doing? Faith is active. It works things. It stops the mouths of lions. It opens up hearts. We need to be moving that. And when we begin to do that, society's transformed. And then number four, there's a harvest of souls coming to Jesus. And that's what we're called to be. Whether you're an evangelist or not, the Bible says do the work of an evangelist. Every church needs to be strong in evangelism. Come on, that's why this place isn't big enough. Amen. You need another building. There'll probably be bigger buildings, a building, because we keep growing. We keep moving forward. We go from faith to faith, glory to glory, and increase to increase. That's something that's alive. If you're alive, you grow. Some pastors are so burdened, you know, I need my church to grow. We have all these church growth seminars, and we're trying to get all these methods that don't work because we're in another territory. You know, Americans, we're crazy for that. They go all over the world for conferences and try to bring stuff back from South America. You're in America, North America. It doesn't work here. That's South American stuff. People went and they separate all the men and from the women. And all of them, these people were Catholic. You know, that's why that works for them. And none of them work. They have a lot of time. But for us, come on, we worship as a family. And we can get into these methods, and there's just some of them. We got to be led by how God leads us. When I started my church, I read 6 books on church planning, and the Lord said, don't do any of it. Because God's not looking for methods. He's looking for men and women, amen? And so there's a harvest of souls. This is a byproduct. Pastors, how do you get your church to grow? Have the life of the Spirit there. When people are getting healed, people are getting delivered, marriages are getting restored, kids are getting off of drugs and alcohol, and we're serving our community. Come on, we're a lighthouse in the community. People will come from the north and the south and the east and the west to come to find healing because they're attracted to health. And come on, it's not some new age positive influence thing and you know, being healthy. I know, you know, Australians are health conscious and all this on the outward. Not there's anything wrong with that, but it's something spiritual and it gives life. Amen. And so throughout history, every spirit-led movement began with apostolic and prophetic leadership. The Bible says the church is built upon Jesus is the chief cornerstone, but it's built upon the apostles and the prophets that see the strategy, that are able to release people into ministry, into their callings or giftings, and then prophetic insight to know how to do it. Because we can't be just running with energy and strength and not know where we're going and hit the wall. So we need the sight, we need the revelation, but we need the strength of the apostle also. Amen? But why do revivals die? You know, the word revival is not in the Bible. We talk about revival. Oh, I want revival, revival, revival. What does it come from? The word vive, the Latin word vive, which means the life. Life of God. But we're never called to lose it. Why do you need to get revived? Because you began in the spirit, old foolish Galatians, and now you're ending up trying to do it in the flesh. So we need a revival because it doesn't work, and we can have some level of success, but it's natural success. Come on, if you work 70 hours a week and you prosper, don't give God the glory for that. Come on, you're just like everybody else out there. How many know people in the world do that and prosper too? But come on, when I'm serving God and I'm here, and while I'm here, I got 2 listings and the Lord has people calling me and I'm not even thinking about it. And guess what? God's working for me while I'm working for him. That's supernatural. How does that work? And I'm not saying we don't have to work hard, but we work outside of the limitations of the natural. There's a favor of God that's there. It's supernatural. But we lose the move of God. Revivals die because the church compromises the foundations of the word of God. We got to understand truth is not optional. Truth is absolute. I get no amens on that. That's countercultural in every culture right now. Because why, we want to come up with our truth. You know, if I feel like a woman, I can be a woman. If I feel like a man, I can be a man. And then it goes so far, you know, it gets a little crazy. I'm a cat. I was joking this today on the way here with Michael. And, you know, I saw a meme on there and a cop pulls this lady over and she's like, give me your driver's license. She says, I don't have one. I'm a cat. He said, woman, show me your driver's license, ma'am. I'm not a woman. I'm a cat. And this is my owner, which is a girlfriend. So the cop said, well, I'm going to take you to the pound. And your owner's going to have to pay $250 to get you out of the pound. And the owner said, give him your driver's license. Come on. We get to the place where it's insanity. We can't redefine truth. There's certain things that are absolutes. There's the law of gravity. What goes up must come. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. You're going to fall to the ground and break your leg. Unless you have a hang glider. I was in New Zealand and they have these big hills and there was this place that you launch off with a hang glider. I'm like, that looks dangerous to me. But if you got the right equipment, you can soar. But come on, we understand we can't violate the law of gravity. There's other laws that help us to supersede it. That's why I'm going to get on an airplane on Tuesday, and I'm going to fly back to America in the sky. Thank God we don't have to take boats for 3 months anymore. But we've got to understand there are truths, and we can't compromise the foundations of the word and truth. And many churches, I know not this one, don't preach the word of God. All the things that we need to be talking about, we don't talk about. We don't talk about marriage. We don't talk about sexuality. Come on, we don't even talk about money. Well, people might get upset. Jesus taught more about money than he talked about faith. Why? Because where your treasure is, your heart is. Oh, don't be talking about money. All the churches want is our money. We don't need your money. God will pay the bills. You just won't be blessed. Because God gives seed to the sower. When you sow, you reap. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It's not magic. It's about honoring God. And you can come, well, I'm going to give an offering. God has to bless me. No, he doesn't. Have you been a parent and your kids comes and with entitlement? You're my dad. You got to buy me this car. Oh, really? You know? What happened? With that kind of attitude, they don't get anything. But if they come with a good heart and they come, Dad, I love you. Mom, my girl's coming. I'm like, what do you want? What do you want? Come on. Because it flows out of love. Are you here? That was for somebody this morning. Number two, we lose the move of God because we reject the Holy Spirit. We can't reject the Holy Spirit. You can't. It's like you come in a place and say, well, I love Glenn, but Lynn, oh my gosh. They're one. Well, I love Lynn. That's probably more of the thing. But Glenn, sometimes he's a little, you know. Yeah. They're one. You can't accept one or the other. You can't just say, well, I'm okay with Jesus, but the Father, ooh, yeah. Holy Spirit, you know, he's a little wild. He's the all of a sudden part of the Trinity. You know, the Holy Spirit's amazing. It's all of a sudden crazy stuff. You're in the middle of preaching. And Rodney Howard Brown, many of you might know him. He's a great revivalist. And he was in the middle of preaching. And he's an African. He's preaching. And in the middle of preaching, people start falling on the floor laughing. And he tells the story. He's like, God, what are you doing? I'm not finished with my sermon. And the Lord said, you weren't preaching so well. I thought I'd help you out. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout, amen? We can't reject the Holy Spirit. Many churches have quarantined the Holy Spirit to the back room. Come on, if we do that, he'll go find another group of people somewhere else. Are you here? We can't quench him and have overly structured things and limitations. We need to have, you know, order. There's nothing wrong with order. We have an order of service. But God, if God moves and we spend a little bit more time praying and God wants to prophesy, let's flow with that. And let God have his way. We've had service. We didn't even get to preach because worship was so strong. We just move in worship, and we have two services. The next service is ending, and I'm like, if you need to go, you can go, but we're just continuing. And the next service came in, and we just continued in worship and kept going. Why? Because I'm not going to quench the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's hard as preachers to land. We have 3 or 4 landings, amen? Okay, I'm about to end. Last verse, and you're like, yeah, right. You know? And then what happens? It keeps going. So we've got to understand that we can't quench the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, the church becomes critical of the move of God. And what is that? If you continue in that, that's where blasphemy of the Holy Spirit comes. Where we make fun of the Holy Spirit. Oh, those Christians, they're just holy rollers. You know, the Quakers were called Quakers because they would shake under the power of God. Oh, the Quaker, you're a Quaker. You're a flake. You're this, you're that. You're, oh, too overzealous. They said the same thing about Jesus. But we can come to a place where we're critical of the move of God. Don't be critical. And who's usually critical? A spectator. I know y'all like rugby here, right? And it's easy. You can be watching on TV or you can be on the sidelines. You're like, come on, what's wrong with you? And you know all the right plays. You're so critical. But you get out there with that 350 you know, pound, I know you guys do kgs here, but 175, you know, kg person, and get in front of them, and let's see how, if you really know what you're saying. Come on. We have our American football, and you have these big old, they're called refrigerators, you know, those front linemen that want to knock you out and tackle you. It's very easy to sit on the sidelines and critique, well, the pastor should have done that. Well, why don't we roll up our sleeves and get involved? Are you here? Don't criticize the move of God. Many times the previous move of God criticizes the new thing. And I've learned that as things happen, I'm like, I'm going to get in the room and check it out myself. And not everything's God. You got to have discernment, you know, because sometimes there's strange fire out there too. Sometimes there's mixture out there. Be discerning, but never be critical. We talked yesterday, Apostle Glenn also mentioned, don't be the accuser of the brethren. Well, what about Prophet Saul? Oh, I knew he was off. And you didn't know he was off. You were in the meeting giving money. Come on. You were receiving. But don't we don't know their story. We don't know. Maybe they're off 10% and the 90% was good. Come on. Thank God we're not public figures. And when we fail or we mess up in private, nobody knows because we're not a public figure. But when you're in a public limelight, everything you do, everyone sees. Are you here? And so don't be critical. Religious people always criticize what they can't produce. And you know, I had a word yesterday about there's a civil war coming in the church. Because when glory's falling, those with no glory will persecute those with glory. Because they're convicted, they don't have it. So they got to begin to disqualify it to make themselves feel better. And let's not be those people. I know your pastor's hearts and, you know, this is not the only church that's going to be in a move of God. There's other churches all over. We're one of them. But we have to be responsible for what God's called us to do. We can collaborate, but why are there different churches? Because there's different flavors, different giftings, and we attract different people. If you're in a dead church, and I know Apostle Glenn's being very good, get off the dead horse and get in a living church, whether it's this one or another one. Well, I've been loyal to my church. Well, you can be loyal and dead. Are you here? You know, you can have a husband and wife buried next to each other. They're loyal, but they're both dead. Come on. And I don't mean to be insensitive, but come, be led of the Lord. And I know people that they'll come to our church and, oh, my God, so alive. My church is so dead. And they keep going back to their dead church. And they never grow. They never move. You know, if something's dead and there's no hope and they don't want a move of God, get around the move of God. Are you here? Two types of moves of the Spirit. Number one is the sovereign move of the Spirit. And God is sovereign. I love the story. You know, St. Angela's Temple in L.A. was built by a woman, Amy Semple McPherson. In the midst of the Depression, she built a magnificent building for the glory of God. There was a revival. People would come from all over L.A. into that church. And there was miracles that would happen in her meetings. And sometimes prostitutes would come in and get healed. But there were some Christians that didn't get healed. And they got upset. How come God healed a prostitute, not me? Well, I don't know. But God heals who he wants to. Well, they're not even saved yet. God don't care. He sees their heart, and sometimes he's meeting them, and he's touching them. And God is God. He's sovereign. We don't get to tell him what we want to do. People, you know, in the word of faith movement, I can confess, and God has to do what I say because I can confess. You can't command God's hand. He's God. Are you here? Now you can obey the word of God. God can do it, but again, if we come with this entitlement and this wrong attitude, God's not going to give it to us because the heart's wrong. But God's sovereign. It's initiated by God. It's a sovereign move. We've seen that. There's been moves in Australia and America, and it just happened. They weren't really doing anything, and all of a sudden, bam, a blowout happened, and there was a move of God. But we need to continue to steward the move of God, or we lose it. But the second type of the move of God, which is what I want to talk about today, is a move of God that's provoked. Some of y'all just went, pshoo. You can provoke a move of God. You can provoke a move of God through your giving and your finances. You can provoke a move of God through your prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It provokes heaven. It gets the attention of heaven. You can provoke a move of God through your praise and your worship. You can provoke a move of God through your serving. And so we've got to understand that we're not called to live by sovereignty. The Bible doesn't say the just shall live by sovereignty. It says the just shall live by what is faith? That I believe God is God and he can do whatever he said he could do. And when God speaks something, I don't get a vote. It's yes, sir. And we come in alignment. Psalms 110 verse 3 says, David said this, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. How many of you want to volunteer to be a move of God? Come on. And I had a vision many years ago and when I was in Singapore and Jesus was wanting to touch people, but people wouldn't put their hand forth. He was wanting to speak to people, but they wouldn't speak because they were afraid of what people might think. He wanted to touch nations, but people wouldn't move their feet. And we've got to understand, we're the body of Christ. Are you here? God can move. He can do anything, but he's chosen to work through us. He's chosen to work through the fivefold ministry to equip the saints. His idea is the church. And people, well, I don't like the church. I love the church because it's God's idea. He could have done many different ways, just had Bible schools. But what he said, I'll build my church. Thank God we need Bible schools to build the church. But if you're just trying to build your Bible school, it's not going to work. well, I have a deliverance ministry. He didn't say, I'll build your deliverance ministry. It's got to be connected to the local church. And in this day and age, if we're not connected to the local church, paraministries are dying out. Build the local church. John Bevere, many of you know him, he's a great speaker and has lots of material, but the Lord told him, everything you do, build the church. So every book he has, every message he has, he puts curriculum and gives it to churches so that they can establish it in people. And he's in high demand because he's building the church. Are you here? We got to be a builder of the church of God. This is a move of God that's provoked. It's a move that's stirred through our faith and through our sacrifice. Some of y'all got that. Some of y'all didn't. What does the Bible say? We offer up the sacrifice of praise. When we don't feel like praising, that's when you need to praise. When you don't feel like moving, move it, move it, move it. Come on. Let everything that I breath shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands. If you're depressed, let me tell you, if you praise God for 2 minutes, we got our 2 minute talking. Y'all, we're going for 4 minutes. Apostle Glenn's like, we need to reset the timer. Let's go over another. Year. We just keep talking and fellowship coming. Once we get going, you could be really quiet and reserved, but then once you start talking, it just gets away. Are you here? And so that's the same thing. Once we start praising God, what happened? The atmosphere shifts over our life. Come on, let's just for the next 1 minute. Come on, let's shout to God. Hallelujah, we praise you, Jesus. Yeah. You are so good. You are so great. Oh, we magnify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Great is our God. He's worthy of all praise and all honor. We glorify you. Come on, I feel the anointing. Woo! What happened? Just like y'all were talking. Come on, something starts. Woo! Priming the pump. The Bible says out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. Come on, out of our belly. What is that? There's like, you got to prime the pump. Do you all have wells here? There's no water flowing, but when you get that little thing, and you eat, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes the water. That's what we do. We prime the pump. We start out with faith. We start out with a decision, and the anointing comes. People, I'm waiting on the anointing. Get into the anointing. It's flowing. How do you get in the anointing? Through your praise, through your worship, through your sacrifice, through your prayer, through your obedience. Are you here? I could have stayed home and not been here, but I'd miss out on the move of God happening here at Awaken Church. Awake Church. Awaken. You know, so we Awake Nations. We've got to get into the move of God. Are you here? And stay, don't stay in our comfort zone. We don't experience the supernatural in our comfort zone. I preached on this yesterday that, you know, whenever we step out with God, there's always that attribute of faith. And I've learned if I step out with the right heart, I open my mouth, God will fill it. Are you here? Because I'm called. I'm under authority. Apostle, you know, I'm just here to preach. And he's like, prophesy today. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm under authority. I submit. And guess what? God gives me something every time. Why? Because I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to provoke a move of God. Four things that provoke the move of God. Are you learning something today? Number one, revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge provokes the move of God. That's the word that's alive. It's a now word. Revelation knowledge is the knowledge of God in the now. What is God saying? Don't be preaching, you know, something you preached 10 years ago. As long as we still preach it because we need established stuff. But some people, they got the same old sermons. They come back 3 years later. They preach the same sermon they preached 3 years ago. Some itinerant ministries, they have it easy. They just have three sermons and preach all those three sermons all over the world. When you're pastors and you're every week, we got to come with some fresh bread. Because some people have heard, I've hardly preached the same sermon twice in my church. Sometimes the Lord's like, you need to preach that. I'm like, I already preached that. He's like, but you got a lot of people that hadn't heard it. And I got to go back and it comes out differently. But having a fresh revelation, Ephesians 1 verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and what? The knowledge of him. And that knowledge is progressive. The more I know, the more I know I don't know. I mean, when I graduated Bible school, I thought I knew everything. I'm God's man of faith and power. We're going to take this, you know? And I had to go out there and get humbled. Begin to realize I, you know, just because I was in a classroom, it's easy to be on fire in a classroom with everybody's on fire. But when you get out there and, you know, people aren't open and you got to deal. I had to learn how to be skillful. I had to learn to honor others. I had to learn to bring a present revelation and not just what I like to preach. Are you here? Revelation causes transformation. Movements die when people don't discern what God is doing now. Are you here? And I'm not saying, and I'll say, don't just try to come up with something new for the sake of being new. You know, some people come up with something new, and some teachers sometimes, the word of faith, like, we got to have something deep, deep, deep. You're deeper than God. Like, that wasn't even, that's not even in the word, but you're so deep that you surpass God. Are you here? What am I? You're coming up with something to try to tickle men's ears. That's not what we're talking about. But what is God saying right now? What is the focus that God has for us? So we've got to have revelation knowledge. Number two, what provokes the move of God? Hunger. Matthew 5 or 6, we know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is what? To be in right standing with God, to be where God is. The Bible says they will be filled. If you're not hungry, you can't get filled. I've been in prayer lines. People are flying, power of God. And then I touch someone. It's like touching a wet blanket. The anointing just, and they just look at you. Come on, preacher, show me what you can do. They get nothing. Are you here? You got to touch with faith. Touch the hem of his garment with faith. Cry out like blind Bartimaeus. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, God. And what happens? You get the notice of heaven. You got to be hungry. A hungry person will steal because they're desperate. Are you here? And I'm not telling you to steal, but what happened? The Bible says, earnestly desire the things of the Spirit. Earnestly desire that you may prophesy. I'm going after it. Are you here? Because I'm hungry. I even steal prophecies. Someone gets a word, God's going to do that. I'm like, I'm taking that. Come on. Because of my faith. Didn't the woman come and say, Jesus said, this bread is not for you. She said, just give me a crumb. I broke my shoulder, dislocated my shoulder, and I was going through 6 months of physiotherapy, and I could not move my arm like this, higher than this. And I was in a healing miracle meeting, and a woman came on stage, and she said, God touched me. I felt the fire of God. I dislocated my shoulder, hit my shoulder, and I'm totally healed. And I'm like, I want that. And the fire of God hit me, and I went like that and was totally healed. Nobody prayed for me. Nobody, because why? I can reach with faith. What is faith? We reach up into heaven and we pull it down. Come on, what are you believing God for? Come on, just reach up with your faith and pull it down. Most of the Western church is not hungry anymore. We need to get hunger, and we need to give people the true meat and word and milk of the word and the Holy Spirit, because as you taste and see the Lord is good, you want more. The only time it's okay to be greedy is when you're greedy for the presence of God. And I'm like, I don't want to miss out on the move of God. That's why I travel all over the world, because God's moving in Africa. He's moving in Asia. He's moving in Australia, New Zealand. And I want to be in the middle of all of it. Lord, let me go. Let me be in the middle. And many times he does. Are you here? And so we got to stay hungry. God will give us the grace. How bad do we want a move of God? It's so seen by our prayer, by our fasting, by our pursuit of God. When I started out fasting, I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to fast again. I hate it. But you know, I enjoy fasting now. I'll fast sometimes once a week, and I don't tell everybody about it. Why? Because it keeps me in clarity. When you overeat too much, what happens? You get a little dull. Are you here? And so we went the other day, and we had some Asian food, and it was all carbs, Thai food. And I went home and said, forgive me, Jesus. The spirit of gluttony has, you know. So the next morning, no carbs. I mean, I want to cut down a bit because I feel I'm not sharp. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Doing that thing, not just because, you know, Apostle Glenn says there's a fast at the beginning of the year. We're doing a 21-day fast, and then the rest of the year we feast and end up in the flesh. Live a fasted life. Have that relationship with God. Have those spiritual disciplines that help you. Many preachers are preaching on empty because they're not connected. The biggest sin in the church is not adultery or sexual sin. It's prayerlessness. Because we don't pray. We don't connect with God. I was up this morning at 5:30 praying, you know. And getting in the presence of God, I never take it lightly because I got so many things I could do. But I need the touch of God. That's what makes the difference. Are you here? We need to be moving out of overflowing. We should never burn out. People, why are you burning out? You should burn on for the Lord. Come on, if you've got fire, it's an all-consuming fire that never goes out on the altar. The fire never fizzles out. We don't want to be like a rocket preacher or a rocket person. Well, we go up in the air and then we're gone. Are you here? Keep burning on. Keep growing in God. There's a flow, and the more you pour out, the more he pours in. The more you give revelation, the best way to learn something is to teach someone else. When I start teaching Bible college, I start learning even more because I'm not just receiving, but now I'm giving, and the Holy Spirit's downloading even more. Are you here? If you're hungry, he'll move. If you're thirsty, you'll be filled. And we need to do that in the middle. You know, I know Australia's famous for the tall poppy syndrome, they say, where anything that seems out, we cut it down so we're all the same. No, 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 no. God's not a respecter of persons. We can all be the same because guess what? What God will do for one, will do for the other. But you got to pay the price. And if someone else is getting blessed, someone else is prospering, don't judge them for their fruit because they sacrificed and sowed and we did not. Come on, rejoice. And God's not a respecter, but he'll do it for you. None of us are special. We're all special, you know? My kids sometimes, my daughter will text me and she took my phone and changed her name to your favorite child. So I'm like, it's dangerous, my kid. And sometimes she'll take pictures of herself and put it in my phone. I'm like, what is this, you know? So the phone rings, your favorite child. I laugh. I'm like, hey. So she, you know, but like, I've got no favorites. Are you here? God's got no favorites. Well, God's not a respecter of persons. But why are some blessed? Why are some prospering? Because they're obedient. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you're critical and not hungry and complacent, you're not. Bible says if you work, you'll eat. If you don't work, you'll starve. And we need to help people, and I believe in that. But like some people just don't want to work, and they want everyone else to pay for anything. Well, that's great if someone else is paying for it. But if I'm the one paying for it, I don't really like that. Why do I want to work harder for someone who doesn't want to work, and then my hard work, everything goes to them? It's called taxes. Come on. I'm not going to go there, all right? I'm going to get in trouble. But how many of you are ready to provoke a move of God? We can provoke a move of God with our faith. We've got to have hunger. We've got to have revelation, that's current revelation. Number three, we've got to have sacrifice. I got two amens from that. Sometimes I get none. Don't be afraid of sacrifice. From Genesis to Revelation, whenever you see God moving, there was a sacrifice. Psalms 50 verse 5 says, gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I've had three times when I had an encounter with the Lord, and it was a covenant. When I left Singapore, I was walking through the gate weeping because I'd sown my life in there. I didn't leave disgruntled. I didn't leave. But you know, this was my family. This is where I built and seen a move of God. And now, what am I going to? It's like, Abraham, get up and go to the land I'm calling to you, but you don't know where you're going and what it's going to look like. And I was weeping. And I got on the plane, and the Lord said, from this day forward, you will lack no good thing. And there was a covenant. And that was the security. As I went out and I was no longer on salary, I no longer had support, I no longer had the thing that God will take care of me. And guess what? He's done it. Come on, 14 years later, we're still going strong from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen? It's a covenant that comes through sacrifice. Never get tired of sacrificing. And I know you guys, you serve and you got to give your whole team a big hand. Come on, it's been a long weekend, but they're still here serving. Your pastors, your leaders, you know, they don't have to do this. They can go and preach anywhere in the world. They're in high demand. But you got to come and step out in faith. And sometimes, you know, get people excited about something that they don't see the excitement in it yet. You know, I don't know if it's like my church. Everyone always signs up the last minute. I don't know what it is, but you're going like, God, are we really supposed to be doing this? I'm going back into a conference in my church next weekend. And, you know, I checked and the registration's low, half the church only. I'm like, what's going on? But we still have to obey God. Are you here? There's a sacrifice that has coming. We want revelation, but we don't want sacrifice. But heaven is ready to pour down. If you don't put the sacrifice on the altar, there's no fire. And what does the Bible say? We're a living sacrifice. The Bible says, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, well-pleasing to God, which is your service to God. I love sacrifice. You know, I used to struggle because it's about trusting God, but now I trust God. If I really heard God and God says, add another zero, there's a harvest coming. I get excited when stuff comes and things are difficult and I'm plowing. Come on. What does the Bible say? Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. If you don't plow, you're not going to have a harvest. Let's not be afraid of sacrifice in our Western Christianity. I'm sure it's the same. It definitely is that way in America. I mean, we're the inventors of the lazy boy chair. Come on. We like our comfort, and it's almost like anything that involves sacrifice is the devil. You know, and Apostle Glenn was talking yesterday about the greasy grace and this grace that is not grace, where it's like Jesus has done everything. You don't need to do anything. You can live in sin. You're covered. You got your life. It's licentiousness, a license to sin. That's not what grace is. Grace is an empowering grace. When Paul says, this is hard, this is a sacrifice, I've got a thorn in the flesh, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, and your weakness I made strong. And that's where we see the supernatural. This generation, and I'm sure it's true in Australia, they want success without sacrifice. They want wealth without service, without giving. People want the anointing without paying the price. Give me a double portion of anointing. I can't give you my anointing. Nobody gave it to me. God gave it to me. And how do you get the anointing? Be with Jesus. You'll get all oily. Come on. You get some oil on you because you've been in the presence of God. That's where you get the oil. It's not from a man. It's from God. Are you here? It's a relationship with God. And guess what? You won't have to worry about the devil because you'll be like a greasy pig. He can't grab a hold of you because you're so oily. Are you here? Our culture thrives on avoiding pain. But the fire came on the altar when the priest began to sacrifice. And they brought continual sacrifices before the Lord. Amen? It's not all sacrifice. We sow in tears, but we reap in joy. But it's worth it. I've sacrificed. Being a pastor is a thankless job. I was telling Apostle Glenn, you know, sometimes people you love, people, they stab you in the back and talk bad about you. You pour your life into people and raise them up and they just leave. But why do we do this? Because we love people and we love God. God keeps score. Are you here? These aren't our people. They're God's people. But sometimes it's difficult. But why do we do it? Why do we sacrifice? Because of our love for God and because we get to carry his presence. We get to have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And come on, I get to see people healed and I get to see miracles. And I get people saved and I see them, you know, get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like, that's what I'm living for. They get to encounter God. I mean, let God keep score. We want a move of God. Four things provoke a move of God. Revelation, knowledge. Someone say revelation, knowledge. Number two, hunger. Say hunger. Number three, sacrifice. And finally, number four, unity. When God sees unity, he's pleased. How great it is when brothers and sisters dwell in harmony, the Bible says. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they were all in one accord. They were in unity. And we can come with all our diversities, and thank God for the diversity of the church. We don't have to all be clones. But in that diversity, there's a unity of vision. God is attracted to unity. We can't have five visions. What do you have then? You have division, divided vision. There's one vision, one mandate, one God, one church. Are you here? And we need to focus on that. Not that God can't add to it, but right now it's like, well, I want to go left. I want to go right. I want to do this. I want to be a prayer house. Oh, I want to be a deliverance. I want to do this. You can't do everything at the same time. And God will bring you on a journey through all those things. We need to be a full gospel church that preaches everything. But right now, what is God wanting to establish? We need to come in unity. God doesn't dwell in strife. Strife grieves him. And as you build the church, protect the unity of the faith. I tell my church, how do you protect it? When someone comes and they gossip about, oh, sister so-and-so, you just look at them and say, let's pray right now for sister so-and-so. That'll stop that right now. They get angry with you. Why? Because they're not coming with the right spirit. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. You're going to find no church is perfect. I said, this building was so clean. The bathrooms were clean before you showed up. But when you leave, it gets dirty because church is messy. Come on. That's why God turns our mess into a message. But it gets messy. But don't be critical of those things. God doesn't work when we all have a personal agenda. We got to come together and put aside our agenda. The opposite of unity is division. Amen? What's the sign of spiritual immaturity? Division. How many know kids are always fighting? I'm sure they're the same here. You're driving down the road and your kids on the back. You're just like, stop. Because they just like to get at each other. And sometimes we're like that in the church. But if unity is the will of God, the lack of unity is against the will of God. Strive to protect the unity of faith. When we do that, why do we do that? Because we want an agenda. And I'm not saying we can't bring up problems. One of my mentors said this to me, you can ask any question as long as you ask it with the right attitude. Bring things up. We need to be better. And I love when people come to me, Pastor, we need to be doing this. I said, okay, great. I'm very busy. You go and do it, and I'll help support you. And what happens? You see, do they really have the burden or not? Well, I'm not called to do it. So you're called to criticize and talk about everything that's not being done, but you don't want to do it? That's not a family. Come on, we all serve one another. We all have chores. Every joint supplies. Come on, we come together in unity to begin to see a move of God. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a big shout. Amen? Come on, let's stand on our feet. Smith Wigglesworth said this, the great Smith Wigglesworth, man of faith and power. He said, if God's not moving, I move him by my faith. We don't have to wait on a sovereign move of God. We can provoke a move of God with our faith. Any believer can provoke a move of God. But what is the thing you need to do? What is God asking you to sacrifice? What area do you need to be a little bit hunger? What is sacrifice? Something of value given to God as an act of worship. And come on, let's be a church. And I know that's the heart. I feel the presence of God. That come on, we're saved. Come on, let's present our lives as a living sacrifice. Let's bring our family and put it on the altar and say, God, we want to see you do something amazing in this place. As the Lord spoke at the beginning of the service, where the ears that hear it will tingle because of what God is doing here in this place. Come on, lift up your hands. Just begin to talk to the Lord right now. What's he asking for our life? He's asking for our worship. He's asking for our prayer, our fasting. He's asking that as we gather, we invite him into our gathering and fellowship, that we give God our time. What is sacrifice? It's surrender to God. The great C.S. Lewis, the writer, said this, God doesn't want something from us. He simply wants us. And one of the things I pray, I say, God, take all of me, all of my nothingness in exchange for all of you. Come on, just open your mouth, begin to talk to him right now. God, take all of our imperfections. God, we want all of you. God, whatever it takes, the cross before us, the world behind us, no turning back. That God, we won't be, that won't be something that's abnormal, or we just say, oh, that's radical Christianity. That is normal Christianity of people who are called by your name, who humble themselves, because God, we just want you. No matter what the cost, no matter what the price, we want a move of God. We pray, God, that you would protect the unity of this church. Just begin to join hands with your neighbor, or touch your neighbor right now, even if you're from another church, but we are the church. God, we pray for unity. Protect the unity. We declare this is a strife-free zone. We declare this is a critical-free zone. We declare that we will walk in the fruit of the Spirit, in gentleness and kindness and self-control. God, that we will walk in love. That God, we come and we put aside our agenda, and God, we set our heart, we set our face upon you, that God, you would come in power, you would come in glory, that as we gather in unity, wherever we are gathered, wherever two or three are gathered, that you will be here in the midst of us, God. God, we lay hold of what you have for us. We're pressing forward towards the mark of the high call. And I just hear the Lord say, there's some that come and you're looking to the past moves. You're looking to, oh, how it was here and how it was there. But the Lord says, I'm doing a new thing. Don't look to the herb, for have I not said that I am causing a new wineskin to come, and I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. And it doesn't mean the herb was bad, but the herb, it is past, and there is a new thing that is breaking forth in the nations and here even in this nation. There's a new way of doing church. There's a new sound that's coming in praise and worship again. Not just coming from one or two, but God, from the sound of the house. And the Lord says this, there's songs. God's going to give you an anointing to write songs, even as you're in that place of worship, and it will have the sound of the house. The Lord says, don't just be a worshiper. Don't look just to the rest and emulate the rest, but begin to come to me and begin to lay hold of me. And there's a new sound. There's a new flow that's going to come forth, and it's going to be different. It's going to be unique because it comes forth from my presence, says the Lord. I've called you not to be a copy, but I've called you to be original. So begin to lay hold and begin to come before me. Begin to spend time. The Lord says that I cherish that time in worship when you come and worship me. And I see you just taking the guitar and the anointing falls. And you're weeping in the presence of God. And there's a new song. There's a new lyric that you're recording as you're worshiping God. And as you come into the service, there's a new prophetic dimension that's going to come. The song of the Lord is going to come. Sister, come. Sister, come. And you're part of that. The song of the Lord is going to come. Just lift your hands, and you're going to begin to prophesy. You're going to begin to speak forth words, and it will even turn into other songs. I see. It's like you'll get a riff, you'll get a chorus, you'll get a progression, and it's going to come, and it's going to flow, and it'll be a little piece here, and you'll have a piece, and you'll have a piece. And the Lord says it will shift the atmosphere. For this is called to be a church that shifts the atmosphere, says the Lord. And so the Lord says, rise up in faith, rise up in boldness. The Lord says, I'm not just called you to preach. I'm not just called you to just be faithful and fill in the gaps. But the Lord says, there's a prophetic anointing of the psalmist is coming upon her in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you. Let me release in her life in the name of Jesus. Flowing out of her in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. We thank you, God, that the best is yet to come for Sunshine Coast, Lord. The best is yet to come for Ignatius Church, Lord. Come on, give him praise. Give him glory. We love you, Jesus. Woo! Amen and amen. Come on, we're going to land here. I know it's been a long weekend. But come on, it doesn't have to end here. Take what you've received this week and stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the anointing of God. Come on, when you go to work tomorrow, when you go back to school, when you go back to your family, your situation, come on, something's changed because we've shifted into revival. We've shifted into a move of God, and it's going to build and get stronger and stronger and stronger in Jesus' name. Thank you for having me, Apostle and Pastor Lynn. It's been such a privilege. I look forward to coming back and seeing what God is doing. Amen. Come on, give there another shout.
Man, hallelujah.